Our epistle lesson today is from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21 and 37 to 41. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind that filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "Oh, they are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, saying, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. These are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all people, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now when they heard all this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What should we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 persons were added. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out that Holy Spirit upon our hearts, our minds, our lives. Be with us, Lord, filling this place. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, does anyone remember why we call this Sunday Pentecost? That word, it actually comes from the Greek word for 50. The roots of Pentecost are from the Jewish holiday known as the Festival of Weeks, or Shavuot in Hebrew. And why 50? Well, in Leviticus, the people are instructed to count 50 days from the end of Passover to the next feast. Shavuot was the second great feast for Israel, and it was originally a harvest festival, but later it came to be known as the time when people would remember the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. This day was special for Christians because 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus, 50 days during that celebration of Shavuot, of Pentecost, that's when the Holy Spirit came, gave them power, and they became the church. Now remember that Acts was written by Luke. Acts is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke, only it's all about the early church. And we heard and we saw with the kids that a mighty wind rushed in and something like tongues of fire rested on their heads, and suddenly they could speak in these different languages. And people all around Jerusalem could understand them. Now some of you might ask, did this really happen? Well, I think we all have to answer that for ourselves. It's kind of like, do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in the healing that Jesus gave? I find that asking God for help in understanding and believing these things is the very best thing we can do. I think if you have a problem understanding it and believing it and accepting it, all you do is go to God with your doubts. Remember how Jesus was with people who doubted? Thomas, he had compassion upon them and met them where they were. Doubt is not the opposite of faith, it's part of real faith. I assume it did happen. And if so, what does it all mean? Well, like I told the kids, it's about God's power. The Holy Spirit is God's power. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we're receiving God's power to do things we could not do on our own. Those people who had the flames on their heads and felt that mighty wind and were able to talk about God's deeds of power, they were essentially preaching. They were able to just preach. Ordinary people with these extraordinary gifts of the Spirit. But what does it mean for us today? Why are we celebrating? Why are we dressed in red? Why does the sanctuary look this way? We don't have flames and wind rushing in here helping us speak in foreign languages, but we do believe that the Holy Spirit comes to us today. And Pentecost is a celebration of that power. Pentecost actually has lots of meaning. It is the birthday of the church because it was the first time that all those believers had the same mission from God's power. In fact, if you continue reading the book of Acts, it's all about the church. It's an incredible book. If you just read Acts 2, 42 to 47, you will find a definition of the early church that is truly powerful and humbling. Listen to this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done, and all who believed and were together had all things in common. Day by day, they spent time together in the temple. They broke bread. They ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. That's humbling, isn't it? They had what we have, teaching, fellowship, communion, and prayer, but they also saw miracles in their midst. They shared everything in common, and they praised God for every blessing. Wow. What if we did that? What if we modeled ourselves and our church on the early church? Wouldn't that be powerful? But there's more. Pentecost is not just the birthday of an institution known as the church, and it's not just about God's power in the lives of all those individual believers, although they did gain power. Pentecost is also about God's power coming to the whole community, that group of believers known as the church. The Holy Spirit came when they were all gathered together, not when they were home alone in their own houses. I think that's very important. The Holy Spirit does come to our individual hearts, but the Holy Spirit also comes to us as a church, as a family of faith, the body of Christ. And the purpose of that power has to do with the church, the community. I think it's important to remember this side of the Holy Spirit, because when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit as our counselor and our advocate and the Spirit of truth, when Paul talks about the Spirit being the one who prays for us when we cannot pray, we tend to think of that as individual power in our lives, and it is. But there is also a Holy Spirit power for all of us together. Do you remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12? He says that we have all been given gifts by the same Holy Spirit, and we are all parts of the body of Christ, like ears and eyes and hands and feet. We all have been given gifts from the Spirit to be a part of that body. So if you have a gift or a talent or anything that you have given or shared with this community, that's the Holy Spirit at work in you. Do you know why there's a big list of nations in this passage? When Acts lists the 15 different nationalities who heard people speaking in their native tongue, it was Luke basically saying, this is the whole world. This is the whole world that we know about at the time. Luke was saying, this is for everyone. Everyone is now hearing about God's power and receiving that power of the Holy Spirit. The church was becoming universal for everyone. Not just for Jews, not just for those who had personally walked with Jesus, but everyone. This idea of everyone being welcomed and everyone being part of the same community is so important in our world right now. I was thinking this week about how divided our nation is right now and how unwelcoming our country can be. How unwelcoming we can be at times. Maybe it's because we're lacking a little bit of that compassion, and sometimes just human decency. My brother has a colleague in their Dallas office who lost her only son recently. He was a high school senior who had just graduated and was celebrating with friends that very night when he defended a girl who was being catcalled by a group of guys and was shot in the head. He was the only son. We've all heard of the bigotry on a train in Portland that inspired three men to come to the aid of some Muslim women, and two of them were stabbed for their compassion. Ruth Marcus, a Washington Post columnist, quotes the defense secretary, James Mattis, when asked about what worries him most about his new role, and this is what he said. He said, I think it's a lack of fundamental friendliness. It seems like an awful lot of people in America and around the world feel spiritually and personally alienated, whether it be from religion or community, from school districts or government. In many ways, hasn't the fear of people who are different, the fear of the stranger, crippled us? We can all buy into that fear of people who don't look like us, who don't speak the same language, who don't dress like us, who don't celebrate like us, who don't worship like us. But that is the opposite of our gospel and the opposite of the power of our Holy Spirit. We believe that the good news is for everyone. We believe that everyone is welcomed and invited and accepted into the body of Christ and the church. Do you know which gospel really drives that point home? Which one names the most women? Which one is dedicated to a Gentile? Which one traces Jesus' ancestry all the way back to Adam? Which one where Jesus preaches good news for Gentiles and they speak well of Samaritans and they count women as valuable disciples of Jesus? It is all the gospel of Luke. Luke wants us to know that Jesus' message and his ministry are for all people. In fact, all the Gospels talk about this universal love of Jesus for the world. That John 3:16 that most of us can all recite, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But are we living that? Aren't most churches today very segregated, very homogenous? Yes. It's easier, it's safer, it's more comfortable in many ways if we're surrounded with people like us, but that is not the gospel life. If everyone thinks and acts and believes and looks just like us, we need to do a better job of reaching out into our community and the world, and we have work to do. Because Jesus' desire was that the church would be for everyone and the Holy Spirit would come upon all people, just like it says in Acts 2:17, quoting the prophet Joel. Jesus' desire was, as Paul writes in Galatians 3, that there would no longer be Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, and the list goes on. Pentecost is the birthday of the church, but it's also the birth of God's grace for everyone. It's the birth of that good news going out to all the world. It's a new beginning, a new mission, where the doors of the gospel are just opened wide. The question is, are we opening the doors of the gospel to our community and our world? Are we seeking the power of the Holy Spirit to reach people with the good news? Or are we content to just maintain a building and be a group of people who like to hang out together? That's not our call. I think this building is used for kingdom purposes, and that's why we are called to be good stewards of it. I think we are certainly reaching out into our community in so many ways. Just look at how we are welcoming young people and youth into our church every day after school, and then again this summer. People who are different, who don't all look like us, talk like us, believe like us. I think our church family is in the business of opening doors and hearts and minds, and we're about loving our neighbors, all of them, regardless of their language, their culture, their race, or anything else that separates people today. I think that's what makes us unique. I think that gives us a unique mission. Welcoming all people out of God's grace, because that is the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of our Savior Jesus. We are at our best a people empowered by the Spirit in a broad church that is so diverse. It has no national boundaries, no official language, no official dress code, no one way to worship. Do you remember when we welcomed Malawians to our church over the past several years from our sister church in Malawi? Lovely Alice came many years ago, and then a few years back, Luso and Reverend July came. And remember how much we learned from them, because they are so different from us. They look different. Their language, their culture is different, and it's wonderful. It totally enriches our lives and our church. In fact, this November, we will have the opportunity again to welcome friends from Malawi into our homes and into our church, and I cannot wait. And next year, anyone who is willing is welcome to join a delegation from our presbytery to go over there to Malawi and visit our sister church. You know, Mark Twain once challenged people to travel and see the world, and his words apply to our mission of loving and welcoming our neighbors. Whether we get on an international trip or we just drive to the grocery store, these are wise words for us. He said, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, narrow-mindedness, and many people are in need on these accounts." He said, "Broad, wholesome, charitable views of people cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth for all of your life." We need to open wide the doors of the church and the gospel. Today we celebrate something amazing, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the coming of God's power that created the church, and we also celebrate the birth of the good news being spread to the very ends of the world. May we be a part of that mission. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with a brief statement of faith